Now, being the feast of St. Nicholas, naturally he came by and left a little something for those good boys and girls. I don't know if we have any out there. They're probably in the nursery right now. But families out there, if you have some, and you came to the service instead of next service where I have my children's sermon, make sure to see me after the service. Because along with this very tasty treat, he also left a couple of things to help them and their families navigate this Advent. Because we all do realize that it's not really Christmas yet, right? That's not to say that I haven't, along with a lot of us, indulged in some of those fabulous Christmas goodies that come out every year. For me, it's anything peppermint. Just love it. And it's not to say that I haven't been trying to listen to some of those great Christmas tunes on the radio either. But in all of that, deep down in my heart, I know that it's not Christmas yet. And we do have a Christmas crush out, but there's no baby inside. So you have to go and look for yourself. But there's no Christ child in there because it is Advent. It's not Christmas. Now, Advent is this time of year that we are to prepare for Christmas. Now, you might be saying to yourself, Father Christian, we've been preparing for Christmas. My Christmas presents shopping is almost done. My Christmas cards are ready to go out. We've located our Christmas stockings. We've made our reservations for Christmas Day brunch. And my house is all about completely decked out for Christmas. Just one more tote to open up. And I'll be prepared for December 25. I'm ready. I'm not going to be stressed out this year. I'm already planning the cleanup party to make sure that we're not going past New Year's. Okay, great. Presents, cards, decor, a plan in place. We've been sampling some of those holiday treats. We've been singing some of those great tunes. It's all well and good, fun and festive. We're feeling good, prepared for Christmas. But today, the question before us is, how about our souls? How are we preparing our heart, our soul, our very selves for the coming King? Brothers and sisters, the season of Advent is designed to help us do just that. Advent helps us to slow down a little bit. It invites us to quiet our souls and enrich our minds, to simplify our lives, even in the midst of all the shopping and decorating and pre-Christmas parties and merrymaking, and focus us in on the truths and events surrounding our Savior's birth. Now, Advent 1 began by calling us into focus on our hope. What is our hope as Christians? St. Augustine said this. He said, "Let us not resist his first coming so that we may not dread the second." As the prophet's candle was lit, the first candle, the prophet's candle, we recall promises made. The promise that just as Christ came the first time, he will come again the second time. Year after year, Advent begins with this hope. God is faithful, and he will keep the promises he has made to us. Jesus will come again in all power and glory. And that's our starting place for Advent. Now today, at Advent 2, we lit the Bethlehem candle, the second candle on the Advent wreath, the candle of preparation. And we read about John the Baptist, who was sent ahead of the coming Messiah, the King of Kings, to prepare the people's hearts for an encounter with God. And this is where we're going to linger a little bit today, and this next week, with John the Baptist, who's in the wilderness, where he's being obedient to God, who has called him to call the people to repentance and the forgiveness of sins. As the prophet Isaiah prophesied, saying, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all of flesh shall see the salvation of our God." Isaiah prophesied that there would be one to come, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Now, John the Baptist was that man calling to whoever would listen to repent of their sins and be baptized. Now, John has been described as a wild ox of a man. When I hear that, I think of such a man standing in the wilderness wasteland, head to toe, looking something like an ancient grizzly Adams. If you think my beard is wild and out of control, John's was even crazier. Wild honey dripping off his long, scraggly beard. He was clothed in some kind of roadkill, and he probably had bare feet, calloused feet, and he had this distant look in his eye, as though at any moment he might lunge forward and begin to spout off whatever fool things came into his head, except that Luke tells us that what's coming into his head is a far cry from any fool thing. The wild and burly man at whose feet we stand today in our gospel lesson is the cosmic target for nothing short of the word of the Lord. Just as God called the prophets of old to go to be his mouthpiece and to bring his wayward people back to their God, God set apart John the Baptist as his courier, delivering a message to his people, a message to repent of their sins and be baptized. John called the people on their immoral living and challenged them to live up to God's higher moral standards. And as John called the people to righteousness, he did it only in preparation for the one greater than he who would come, who would baptize the people with the Holy Spirit and fire. For John didn't do anything for himself. All that he did to prepare the people for the coming king. This last week, Kate and I made a journey ourselves up to Illinois, to Wisconsin, and back. And something that happened was we were commenting a little bit, especially in Illinois, on how bad the roads were. Naples, y'all are lucky. You have some really nice roads here. A couple times I thought I was going to lose an axle, I tell you. But those roads were bad. But in the Middle East, in ancient times, the roads were even worse. So bad that it was said there was three kinds of misery: sickness, fasting, and travel. For the roads weren't surfaced at all because the soil in Palestine was so hard enough it could bear the traffic of mules, of donkeys, of oxen, of carts. And a journey along an unsurfaced road was an adventure, they say, and indeed an undertaking to be avoided. Now, there were surfaced roads, but all the surfaced roads were originally built by the king for the king. They were known as the king's highway. They were kept in repair only as the king needed them for any journey that he might take. So before the king was to arrive in any area, a message was sent out to the people to get the king's roads in order for the king's journey. Now, it has been said that the resources for salvation do not lie within the possibilities of human history. They only can come in from outside. Said another way, there is nothing we can do to save ourselves. Scripture says, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Now, knowing that truth through the Holy Spirit of God, John the Baptist, that wild ox of a man, spoke the word of the Lord to the people with all power and authority, so much so that many Israelites followed him, and many more wondered if he was really the one foretold to come. But John was only the courier, doing what he could to smooth out the rough places, making way for the coming king, calling the people to get ready, to prepare themselves for the coming king. Now, not by mending and preparing the roads, as they would do for the earthly king, but mending and preparing their very self and heart and mind and soul. All the time pointing to the one greater than he who was to come, the thongs of whose sandals he was not worthy to untie. Now, beloved, Christmas isn't here yet. And the truth is we all must do something many of us loathe doing. We will just have to wait and wait and wait. We can follow the circle on the Advent wreath. But this waiting isn't a bored, idle, and wasting time kind of waiting. Our waiting is to be a wondrous time of preparation within the season of Advent, beginning first of all by reminding us of our hope. Now, we can hope in many things. Probably deep down, I'm hoping for a freak snowstorm here in southwestern Florida. Others might be hoping for some fabulous Christmas presents they've seen over the last few weeks and months. Some of us others might be hoping for a stress-free Christmas this year. But at Advent, our hope is something completely different. Our hope is to be focused on the faithfulness of God, who sent his son once and who will come again. This second week of Advent, we are encouraged to be ready. Ready not just for the festivities of Christmas, but ready in heart and soul to meet our Lord by taking time to lay ourselves bare before our God and say, "Here I am, Lord, your servant. I'm not done yet, I know that, and I'm not fully ready. Where might I need some smoothing? Where might I need some mending? Where might I need some healing in my life?" The third week of Advent calls us to joy. Joy that, yes, Advent is almost over, Christmas is just around the corner. But with that, a joyful knowledge of the good news that was given to the shepherds and all those who would listen, of the greatest joy that there could be and ever has been. The Savior of the world had been born, and not only for God's chosen people, but for all who would trust and believe in him, who is Christ the Lord. And then we light that fourth candle, and we're just about there, and we are called to focus in on love. The great love that the Father lavished upon all of us and his creation in sending his Son to be born for us of a virgin. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. So in the midst of all the hustle and bustle of the coming of Christmas, let us remember to take time individually and as a family to thank God for his foresight and grace that he would send his Son to this earth, knowing the ridicule and the anguish that awaited him in the end. For it is Jesus who is our source of hope, our source of joy, our source of love, and the one we are called to prepare our souls to meet. As author Dietrich Bonhoeffer has said, "All that is Christmas originates in heaven and comes from there to us, to you and me alike, and forms a stronger bond between us than we could ever forge by ourselves." Now, however you do it, whether you light your own Advent candle and wreaths at home, or you open each door on an Advent calendar each day of the week and get that little piece of chocolate out of there, or you read a scripture and a meditation every day to start your day, be encouraged to make it a priority this December, as Christmas is knocking at your door, to engage in the holy season of Advent, that we would all be prepared in our heart, in our mind, in our very souls for the coming Messiah. For Jesus came among us, breaking into this world, and now it is our turn to let him break into our hearts, that we would show others, through word and deed, God's abundant love, who is Christ our Lord. Amen.